Weather updates 3 times per hour on the Hill Country Patriot.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
And now, it's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic. Because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now, here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Good morning, Hill Country!
Good morning.
Can you tell I'm awake this morning?
Wow.
Absolutely.
What are you on?
Water. Natural Texas spring water. That's what I'm on right now.
Well, I can't drink water because we don't have a bathroom here in the bunker.
Actually, there is a
now. Although they've now installed a porta potty outside.
And you haven't used it yet, Allison.
No, I haven't.
All right. Well, I am Bill.
And I'm Allison.
And I am a, well, I should say, just to let you know, in case you're not familiar with the show, we are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Absolutely. We're fighting a never-ending battle.
So if you're not interested in that, don't bother listening.
No, you should listen because you might learn something.
Well, that's true.
Maybe we
can convert you.
I listen. Well, people don't want to be converted, but they might have an open mind. People who have an open mind are certainly welcome on this program to listen to this program and give us some feedback if you like. But we're always happy to, because I listen to other people, and you make up, people who disagree with me, just make up your own mind. Anyway, we are fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
Absolutely. We're never PC, politically correct. We are proudly...
politically incorrect.
That's right. That's right. Most importantly, we strive to be BC, biblically correct. And I'm a native Texan, and Allison, you are?
Native American.
Native American, yeah. I was born in Texas, you were born in... America. That's right. But more than that, you are part Chickasaw, right?
I am.
I've always wondered what part.
I think one of my little toes.
Oh, okay. But we do have a trigger warning. Allison identify as non-binary. You should know that. We are non-binary. My preferred pronoun is Brandon. And Allison, do you have a new one this week?
Gee, I totally forgot.
Oh, okay. Well, you have been corn pop, and you have been a PO'd American lately. Allison likes to change her pronouns every once in a while, which, of course, you're supposed to do. You know, we live in an age of fake news, fake meat, and now fake genders. But you won't hear any of that here. You'll hear about it,
right?
But you won't hear much about there. Well, we always like to begin our program with a verse from the Bible, kind of bookend our program with the verses. This is from Romans chapter 1, and it reads like this. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And here's a little clip that I think illustrates that perfectly.
What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible tells us, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, having their foolish hearts darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's exactly what's happening today. Because people are choosing to embrace a rebellious spirit that leads them to reject the knowledge of God and totally disregard his natural order for creation, people are now so confused in their thinking that they believe that men can receive abortions? Listen, the return of the days of Lot and the perversions of Sodom and Gomorrah are currently upon us. And our only safety is to have our hearts and our minds, our entire lives, hidden in Jesus. And whether you like it or not, the truth is the truth.
Absolutely.
Well, the English version of Glamour magazine, their current cover is a trans man, which means that's a woman who claims to be a man, is pregnant, and she is showing her huge, she's pregnant, and she's on the cover showing her huge belly, and people are totally disgusted by this. And also inside the magazine, and I didn't see this, but there is a picture of quote-unquote her showing her naked body, showing the scars where her breasts were cut off.
Oh, well, who wants to look at that?
I know. All I saw was the magazine cover, and it was disgusting.
Yeah, well, you know, you this has happened so fast. You know, just a few years ago.
Oh, exactly.
Just a few years ago, if you said, you know, this is, I mean, you know, I'm a man, I want to be a woman or whatever, actually, I got something on that. Wasn't quite ready for it yet, but it's. But my point is, it's happened so fast, and it's so accepted by corporations. You know, Target and.
Oh, I was going to say I have a whole long list of corporations that are selling merchandise for babies.
Yeah,
they're selling onesies that brag about pride. Acceptance.
Yeah.
And now for men might not know what a onesie is, but that's what you put on a baby, a little tiny baby. It's a one piece thing. It snaps down with the crotch, and it's just for a little tiny baby.
Yeah.
And it's advertising wokeness.
Oh, there's a hospital in England, at least one, that gives parents of newborns a form to fill out, and the question is your newborn male, female, trans male, trans female, non-binary, that's in my mind, non-binary, you know, I mean, a newborn. So that, think about that. When we played a clip a couple of weeks ago where this lieutenant governor of Minnesota, this woman says, we should believe children when they tell us what gender they are. It's not our business as parents to determine what gender our children are. Well, that is, you know, crazy on so many levels. But this business of giving parents a newborn asking what gender they are puts that whole thing to a lie. Newborn's not going to tell you what gender they are. So it's all up to the parents, and it's all ideologically driven. It's all satanically driven, quite frankly.
Yeah, the parents are pushing it.
Getting back to my original point on this, I got several points on it, but one is, it's happened so fast, I believe it's only a spiritual, I don't know the words for it, but it's a spiritual event. By that, I don't mean a good spirit. But I mean an evil spirit, because it's happening so fast and so incredibly ingrained in our system. As long as we're on that subject, Allison, let's play that. There was a movie that came out, which I'm sure everybody is, you know, at least from heard of, if not seen. It came out in 1979. Okay, so that's what, 40 some years ago, and it's Monty Python, and it's called Life of Brian, and it's a comedy. And there's a segment in there, it's about a minute and a half, which is so prescient, so far, looking ahead so far, that it's almost scary to hear it. But Anyway, here is that segment, and you make up your own mind about this. Now, they have English accents, so it might be a little difficult to understand, but I think you'll get it, and we'll kind of summarize it when it's done.
That it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister.
Where was I? I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
But why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies!
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry.
What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies?
It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
There you go. I don't know if you caught the last part. It's symbolic against our struggle against oppression. Well, it's symbolic of your struggle against reality. And well, there was one term in there, too, which might have been a little difficult to understand. He said, you don't have a womb. How are you going to have a baby? How's it going to gestate? What, in a box? But isn't that amazing? That was over 44 years old
when
that movie came out. And John Cleese is making a play out of it, and he's been told, and he said, people have been saying, "Well, you can't have that in the play. You know, times have changed. You can't make fun of people like that." And he says, "It's going to stay in the play."
Oh, good for him.
Absolutely,
good for him. Absolutely. And Elon Musk, who owns Twitter now, is recommending parents watch a conservative documentary about gender issues. Friday. He shared a tweet from the conservative outlet, the Daily Wire, which included its documentary, What is a Woman?
If you haven't seen that one. But Elon is recommending that?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, and what Elon Musk said, is every parent should watch this. He said, consenting adults should do whatever makes them happy, provided it does not harm others. But a child is not capable of consent, which is why we have laws protecting minors.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to that point, you can't get a driver's license until you're 16. I think it's 16. You can't buy a gun until you're 21 or 18 or whatever it is.
You can't rent a car until you're 25.
25, because the car companies don't think you're responsible enough.
And probably you can't rent a hotel room.
I don't know.
Until about 25.
I don't know about that. But my point is, there are a lot of things you can't do because you're not considered capable, rational, making the kind of rational decisions that are necessary in that. But if you're 2 years old and you say, "Mommy, I'm a boy," when you're a girl, then we're supposed to listen to that. Well, suppose your child says, "I'm a fire truck." So what do? We don't, instead of going to the grocery store, we take you to the gas station. You can drink the gasoline. Or your kid says, "I'm a pirate." Well, then poke out his eye and give him an eye patch, cut off his leg and give him a peg leg. Or on a serious note, going back to this Minnesota lieutenant governor crazy person who said, "Well, we have to listen to the kids. They're the ones who really know their gender." Suppose your child threatens to commit suicide. Should you take that seriously and say, oh, well, the kid knows best what they want to do. Would you help them out? Would you provide them the pills or the gun? Or would you take them to a professional for therapy? I mean, any rational parent would do that. But not according to the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, and not according to a lot of crazy people in this society, unfortunately. Well, did you know, coming up, we have a short break. Do you know what president killed a man? There is a president in our history who killed a man.
I think I do.
Maybe more than one. More than one. So that'll be coming up right after the break. And here is the official state song of Texas.
Withstanding every test, oh, empire wide and glorious, you stand supremely blessed. Texas, oh, Texas, your freeborn single star sends out its radiance to nations near and far. Emblem of freedom, it sets our hearts aglow with thoughts of San Jacinto and glorious Alamo. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long. God bless you, Texas, and keep you brave and strong, that you may grow in power and word throughout the ages long.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
We cover the whole Hill Country. And if you, if you're listening in Hill Country, you know you are in Hill Country because you can pick up our signal, because we have a transmitter in Kerrville, and all else have a transmitter, 102.1 in Fredericksburg. And, of course, in Kerrville is 104.3 on your FM dial for your information station, the Hill Country Patriot.
And you can always listen online, hillcountrypatriot.com. HillCountryPatriot.com, or you listen to our shows anytime, not just live, but first couple of TexasRadio.com.
There you go. And we've got, they're recorded there. You can download them, put them on your device, whatever you want. We have a little synopsis of each show, what we talked about, and not complete, of course. We can't list everything, but some things that you might find of interest. Well, before the break, I mentioned that there is a president in the United States who killed a man. And you thought, Allison, you might know. And I say, we don't practice this in advance. Allison doesn't know what I'm talking about here. But do you happen to know who that was? What president?
I think I know approximately.
It wasn't Donald Trump, by the way. Remember, Trump said I could kill somebody in downtown New York.
Fifth Avenue.
Nobody might still get a lot of support. But no, it wasn't Donald Trump.
I think I know approximately when it happened.
All right.
But was it in the mid-1800s?
Well, you were half right. It's the 1800s. It's okay. The early 1800s.
Okay.
May 30, 1806, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So just a few days ago, except it was 1806. And the president was, want to guess?
No.
Okay. All right.
No.
Andrew Jackson.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What happened was, first of all, Jackson is described by his contemporaries as argumentative, physically violent, and fond of dueling to solve conflicts.
Dueling was big back then.
Absolutely was. Absolutely. That was how you solved a serious conflict. Estimates of the number of duels in which Andrew Jackson participated in ranged from 5 to 100.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if you could survive 100 duels. I mean, you got to figure one of those.
Well, if you're a really good shot.
I guess.
Or so, you could duck well.
Yeah, really. Well, I think ducking would be a violation of the etiquette. You can't just drop to the ground.
See, I don't know all the rules.
Well, you got to stand there and take it. Well, Andrew Jackson and Charles Dickinson were rival horse breeders and southern plantation owners, and they hated each other. For a long time, they hated each other. Dickinson had accused Jackson of reneging on a horse bet He called Jackson a coward and an equivocator. He also called Rachel Jackson, Andrew Jackson's wife, a bigamist. And actually, she was. That was accurate. See, Rachel had married Andrew Jackson, not knowing her first husband had failed to finalize their divorce. So Jackson had enough of that, and he challenged Dickinson to a duel. They met at Kentucky, where that's, of course, where Jackson... Jackson's Tennessee, not Kentucky. But anyway, the duel was in Kentucky. And Dickinson fired first. You know, what happens in a duel is they give a signal, and everybody, you're supposed to, you know, you've got your gun already cocked and pointing at the other guy. And women don't do duels, do they?
I've never heard of a women duel.
A women duels. But anyway, so they've got you've got your gun, and it's a single shot. They're not all single shots, so I shouldn't say that. Anyway, you got your gun, and you're pointing it at the other guy, and when the signal comes, you to fire. You're not to fire before. Dickinson fired. Jackson was hit in the chest next to his heart. And Jackson put his hand over the wound and stayed standing long enough to fire his gun. Now, Dickinson's seconds, those are the people assisting him, said Jackson's first shot misfired, which would have meant the duel was over. That was the rule. If your gun misfires, that's the end of the duel. But in a breach of etiquette, Jackson recocked the gun and shot again. This time he killed Dickinson. Jackson recovered, but he suffered chronic pain from the wound for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. So Jackson was not prosecuted for murder, because in a duel, it wasn't murder, legally.
Well, because that's what people did back then.
Yeah.
They dueled.
And actually, the duel had almost no effect on his campaign for the presidency, about 20-some years later. A lot of American
men... Because that's what people did back then.
Yeah, a lot of American men in the 1800s, particularly in the South, thought dueling was a time-honored tradition. Mm-hmm. There's another famous duel in 1804, just 2 years before the Jackson-Dickinson duel. Thomas Jefferson's vice president, Aaron Burr...
I was going to mention Aaron Burr.
Okay.
That's the most famous one.
Yeah, yeah. Remember who he killed?
If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
Tell me now.
Was it a presidential candidate?
Alexander Hamilton.
Okay.
Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a president was guilty of, killing a man in a duel, at least one, and they said they estimated... they don't know how many duels Jackson was in. They say minimum of 5, up to 100, as I said. I don't know, 100.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I told Bill during the break that I'm going to offer some legal advice, and Bill was shocked and appalled.
Well, you're not a lawyer. At least I'm not aware that you're a lawyer. You've never mentioned that since we've been married.
But I am going to give some legal advice.
Okay.
Something happened to us. Just this week, we were sent some legal papers by a lawyer's office asking us to sign affidavits that we knew certain facts about someone's life. And this was someone who died. And we were asked to sign certain facts that we knew, attesting that we knew certain facts about his life. For number one, that he had been married since 1954, I believe. 52, 54, something like that. And he had about 8 children, and some of them were adopted, and some of them had died. And we were supposed to attest that we knew all these facts. Well, we knew this gentleman through business. We had only met him personally, I think, once. His wife, now widow, we had met 20 years ago. But we knew nothing about his personal life. And I called up the lawyer's office, and I said, we can't, at the way these papers are written, we cannot sign them. can you reword them? And she said, no, no, we can't. And what the papers were doing, this man died without a will. So therefore, his wife did not have a clear title to the home that she lived in. And I said to the woman at the attorney's office that I was talking to, I said, he was a lawyer. What do you mean he didn't have a will? And she said, well, he had set up a trust, but he didn't put anything in it. And there, you know, people out there in our listening off audience, a lot of people set up trusts, which are all fine and good, but you have to put your property into the trust, otherwise it means nothing. And he had not put his home into the trust, so therefore it did not go to his wife. And she potentially could lose the house. And one thing that occurred to me is, you know, there were all these children listed. You know, what if one of the kids decided, oh, gee, you know, I want that house. So this poor widow does not have a clear title to her house. And we were advised by the attorney's office not to sign the papers because we did not have knowledge of things that we were asked to attest that we had knowledge of.
No, I mean, when I read that, I said to Allison, I said, we can't sign this. It says, we swear and affirm that the statements are true. And I said, I don't know that they're true. I'm willing to sign a paper that says, to the best of my knowledge, mm-hmm. I have no reason to believe they're not true. But I'm not going to say, I swear and affirm that they are true and get that, you know, sign it in front of a notary. No way. I mean, that's
right.
That's, you know, could be a felony.
Well, and the reason what the law office told me is because in the future, some title company, you know, like when she goes to sell the property, some title company might say, you don't have clear title to it. And I'll tell you what happened to me personally. When I was in my early 20s, I won't tell you what year that was, but it was a few years.
Was it the early 20s that we're talking about? 2020s, we're in the early 20s now.
There you go. No, I was in my 20s, and I was contacted by either a title company or law office, I don't remember which, in Pennsylvania. My great-great, I don't know how many greats back, grandfather had owned a farm, and he was married when he bought it. And he and his wife were on the title and the deed. And his wife died, so he remarried. Well, he neglected to put his new wife on the title. So I was being contacted about almost 100 years later about this situation. And I could have prevented the sale or at least help bollocks it up. I didn't, but I could have. Mm-hmm. I could have said, oh no, Grandpa left that to me.
Grandpa that I didn't know 100 years ago.
Yeah. So that's how important it is to have your property titled properly. Make sure that you have your spouse on it, and make sure that you have a will, or make sure your trust is set up properly, so that your wife or your husband, if you were to die, would get your property.
Mm-hmm. And there are some estate board certified estate attorneys in town, and where's any. Any attorney can do a simple will. If your estate is not particularly complex, you don't need to do that. But you do. Yeah, it's very, as Allison points out, it's very important to have because
Howard
Hughes, a billionaire, died without a will.
Yeah, I mean, something you don't think that's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I just learned, it was just yesterday. It really smacked me upside the head how important that sort of thing is.
Absolutely is. Well, you know, the Old Farmer's Almanac has been around since 1792. And we're going to be talking, we're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about what they're predicting for the weather for the month of June in our area, broadly defined. And they've been right about 80% of the time, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. We've also got some events coming up in the Hill Country that you'll want to be part of. But we'll be back after a real quick break.
Don't mess with Texas. Don't let them throw cans from them old pickup trucks. Don't let them throw bottles and papers and such. When you travel the Lone Star in your pickup or your old car, don't you dump on these fine Texas roads. She's a pride and a pleasure. She's a national treasure. She deserves some respect, don't you know? Mamas, tell all your babies, don't mess with Texas. Keep your trash off these roads, she's a fine yellow rose. Treat Texas like someone you love.
Sponsored by the Texas Department of Transportation, Mr. Willie Nelson.
Download the Hill Country Patriot wherever you get your phone apps.
Keeping a chance for a few showers and stronger thunderstorms in the forecast as the night goes on. That overnight low at 65 for Mountain Home and for Pipe Creek. The sunrise time at 6:35. Seeing some sunshine through Saturday, but also the return of some showers and thunderstorms by late day. Scattered storms Saturday night and Sunday too. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Naramore.
Free Gas Fridays on the Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, I mentioned the Old Farmer's Almanac, which has been published since 1792. Now, there are several farmer's almanacs. It's called the Old Farmer's Almanac, probably the best known one. And their weather forecasting is done over a year in advance. And so how they manage to be accurate, I think it's 81% of the time over the years. I'm not saying since 1792. I don't think they've been doing that long, but they've been doing it for many, many years. And that's pretty amazing. I mean, considering, well, depending on what you think of a lot of modern weather forecasts. But
you mean like the ones who can't tell you what the weather's going to be later today?
often, yeah. Well, didn't we have that just a week or two ago? What about, we're going to have these horrible, we're serious this time, because they know people don't take them seriously. But, you know, horrible rainstorms and possible hail and, you know, duck for cover and all. People were not driving. I was out and people were not driving on the roads and everything, and nothing happened, you know, at least not around here. Well, what the Old Farmer's Almanac says for our area. Now, we have a, when I say our area, this covers most of Texas and most of Oklahoma, except for the panhandles, and except for far west Big Bend country. But other than that, it's a pretty big area. But they draw it. They say it's going to be similar weather in that area. They say summer, it will be hotter and drier than normal, with the hottest periods in late June, early to mid-July, and early August. Okay? But now I'm going to focus on that, and we're going to look at June, which the Old Farmer's Almanac says the temperatures in June will be 3 degrees above average. The precipitation will be 2 inches below average, I'm sorry to say. And they say for the first 9 days, it'll be sunny and warm. And that's pretty much what we've seen so far. This is the 3rd of June. Sunny and warm. And then they say later on, on the 10th to the 15th, isolated thunderstorms and warm. And pretty hot for the month of June. So take it or leave it, but that's what the Old Farmer's Almanac says with their 80% accuracy rate.
Okay, well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has, I don't know if he's officially announced, but he's a candidate.
He's officially announced, yes.
Okay, oh, he is officially announced. He's a Democrat presidential candidate running against Joe Biden. And he has been banned from Instagram. He said we get an automatic 180-day ban. He wrote on Twitter.
That's where his campaign has been banned. Team Kennedy.
Yeah, he said when we use our name, Team Kennedy, we're banned, and we're told that there are 180 days remaining
and no reason
to disagree.
Given. No reason given.
Yeah, exactly.
Other than Instagram wants Joe Biden to win.
Obviously. So the owner of Twitter responded to Kennedy's post, Elon Musk, and he said, "Would you like to do a Spaces discussion with me next week?"
A what?
Spaces. Apparently, that's a deal they do on Twitter. I'm not a total expert. But anyway, so that's going to be Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which is, I guess, what is that?
1 p.m. Central.
1 p.m. Here in Hill Country.
On Twitter? Live on Twitter?
Mm-hmm. Live on Twitter.
So how you access that on Twitter?
I think we can probably do some research and find out.
Okay. And when will this be?
That's this Monday.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock here in Hill Country.
You realize that you're telling people to turn to another form of media other than the Hill Country Patriot, aren't you?
Good point. but seriously, Kennedy later wrote that Instagram still hasn't reinstated my account, which was banned years ago with more than 900,000 followers. And that's what he was not running for president.
No.
Years ago.
No.
And he argued that to silence a major political candidate is profoundly undemocratic.
It certainly is, because social media is a very big deal to use to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And when they just arbitrarily say, "Well, we prefer the other candidate, so you're not allowed on social mm-hmm. media," that is profoundly undemocratic.
And for people who don't know, like you young folks out there, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his father was Robert F. Kennedy,
Bobby Kennedy
mm-hmm. who was a senator and who was a candidate for president who was assassinated. And his uncle was John F. Kennedy, who was president and mm-hmm. who was
Bobby's brother.
Yeah. Bobby's brother, and he was assassinated.
Yeah, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. believes that the CIA was responsible for the murder of his father and probably the murder of his uncle, John F. Kennedy. And there's a lot of evidence to indicate that mm-hmm. is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're running up on a news break, but after the news, Texas has, we're going to allow chaplains in public schools. How about that?
No kidding.
A little stroke of good news there.
No kidding.
It was on total party line vote. All the Republicans voted for it. All the Democrats voted against it. So we're going to be talking about that.
Of course. And I learned something interesting several years ago. I was in the hospital, just very briefly, and a chaplain came by my room. Hospital here in Kerrville, said Peterson Hospital mm-hmm. in Kerrville. And I said, "You don't need to bother my husband as a pastor."
I was at the time, yeah. But yeah, he still needed to bother.
I know, it was part of his job.
Absolutely. Well, no, then it's a part of his calling. It's his calling. And that's what it is. So that'll be after the news. We're going to be talking about chaplains in public schools in Texas. And we've got a this being what they call Pride Month.
Gag me with a spoon.
But we have Buddy
it started June 1.
We have Buddy Brown's take on Pride Month, which you don't want to miss. It is a classic. So that's coming up after the news on the Bill and Allison Show. So don't you dare miss it.
The first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back. That's us.
Experience, the Ranch Radio Group has helped businesses throughout the Hill Country increase their bottom line by using the combined power of our five radio stations. 92.3 The Ranch, 106.1 The River, 104.3 and 102.1 The Hill Country Patriot, 96.5 and 93.9 The Fox, and 106.5 The Raptor. We've helped our friends and neighbors to thrive while growing their business. And now, we're proud to announce the arrival of the Ranch Radio Marketing Group. This new opportunity offers you an array of digital services, including digital display, streaming TV ads, email marketing campaigns, geofencing, and so much more. If you're interested in increasing your share of the market, we'd love to talk with you about how we can help. Simply call 830-896-4990. That's 830-896-4990. Or you can drop us a line at ranchradiomarketinggroup.com. And let's see how we can work together to make your business the success it deserves to be. The Ranch Radio Marketing Group, providing another great platform to help you get the word out.
Well, we're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot. We are part of Ranch Radio Group.
Yes, we are. Hill Country Patriot is your information station for Kerrville, Fredericksburg. Oh, golly. Comfort, Bandera, Hunt, Ingram, Johnson City, Mountain
Home. Okay, the entire Hill Country.
The entire Hill Country. The entire Stonewall. Entire Hill Country. And not those places that, like Austin, that claim to be Hill Country. No, we're not that. And we are sometimes wrong.
But we're always right.
We're always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice.
And the American way.
And we are never PC, politically correct.
No, we're always politically incorrect.
Pretty much. But most importantly, we strive to be BC, which means biblically correct. And we have a trigger warning for you. Allison and I identify as non-binary. So, and we live in an era of fake news, which you won't find here on the Hill Country Patriot, because it's your information station. Fake news, fake meat, and now we have fake genders as well. Texas, there's a bill sitting on the governor's desk, which he, as far as I know, he's going to sign. Will make it legal to employ or accept as a volunteer a chaplain in public schools all over Texas. The House approved it last week. All the Republicans voted for it. All the Democrats voted against it. What does that tell you?
Of course.
Yeah, that sums things up, doesn't it?
I don't think we didn't have chaplains in school when I was a kid.
No, we didn't.
We said prayers, but I'm sorry, until Madeline Marie O'Hara, who was a Texan, came along. And
she got her just desserts, I'll tell you. Not that I agree with it, but she got it. Well, the bill says schools may choose to have a chaplain or not. They can put whatever rules and regulations in place that they see fit. But what I think is also very cool about this bill, and somebody's very clever, in the bill, whether the school... The school boards would have a choice of whether to employ chaplains or not, but the legislation requires that each school board take an up and down vote on whether or not to have chaplains, so that the individual school board members will be on record as to how they voted. I think that's great. State Senator Mays Middleton helped write the bill. He pointed out that chaplains are an integral part of many government agencies. When Allison and I worked for Congress in Washington, there's a chaplain. Mm-hmm. There's a chaplain of the Senate and a chaplain of the House. Mm-hmm. And that's not, nobody ever says, well, it's church and state. You can't mix those up. That was the argument against this bill by some Texas Democrats legislators. But Senator Middleton said, chaplains are part of our communities, and this is a quote, part of our communities in the military, police, fire. They represent God and our government institutions. Schools don't have to hire chaplains under this bill. However, for the same reasons why they work so well for our public safety officials are the same reasons I believe chaplains will work well for our students. Now, Democrats who opposed the bill, I said all the Democrats voted against it, said, well, allowing chaplains in public schools is a violation of church, the separation of church and state. You know, they always throw that up, so some this shibboleth. You know, that's not found in the Constitution. or the Declaration of Independence, for that matter, or in any government documents. There is no such thing as the separation of church and state. What the Constitution says is there will not be an established religion like European countries have. You know, Scandinavian countries, the official religion is Lutheranism, etc. And our Constitution says we're not going to have that in the United States, but it doesn't say anything about separation of church and state. That comes from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Association in 1802, and all in that he referred to, quote, building a wall of separation between church and state. So Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to a Baptist group, and you've heard about it ever since, separation of church and state. It's not part of the law in the United States at all. In fact, they claim, well, religious faith has no place in government whatever because of separation of church and state. Well, as I said, Congress has had a chaplain since its inception. We have chaplains in all sorts of government agencies. As we talked about, fire departments, police departments. Well, now we're going to have them in schools if the local school boards want it. And if, you know, but they have to vote on it, and it has to be a recorded vote, so we see what school board members are for it and which ones are against it. And one of the chaplains interviewed in the story says that having a counselor of faith would be yet another arrow in the quiver of schools who need healing following tragic events. And there's a teacher named Todd Taylor in Texas who feels called to shift his career from being a teacher to one of the chaplains. He told of a crisis team that came to his school after a kindergartner drowned. He said they spent a day in our school with the class, then they left. He said if we had had chaplains in schools, they'd be there every day. They would personally know the kids. The teachers, myself included, were given a phone number to call if you needed help. If we had chaplains in the school, we would get the help we need. So there's your good news for today, or you know, hopefully we have more. But Texas is going to get chaplains in public schools. How's about that? Mm-hmm. Well, this is Pride Month, as we mentioned before the news break.
June 1. Started Pride Month.
So here's the great Buddy Brown's take on Pride Month.
What's up, y'all? You know what's absolutely wild to me? Disney used to have a gay day, like back in 2001. And then fast forward a couple years, they had a whole gay week. Now on today's calendar, we have an entire month of the year where it's absolutely weird to be heterosexual, at least to the corporate world. I swear, y'all, it's honestly like they think every single one of us should be up there on a parade float in downtown San Francisco wearing nothing but tighty-whities and cowboy boots. Have fun getting that image out of your head. So I wrote the little song here. Hope you enjoy it. Here we go. If y'all didn't know it, I'll explain it to you. You're all right-wing bigots if you're not into dudes. We get 55 emails each day before noon, reminding us all that everything's gay in June. Your new Apple Watch, your ball cap from Liz, the Walt Disney Channel's got gay shows for kids. Levi jeans makes you start hearing the banjos. Skittles make sure we're all tasting the rainbow. As queer as a $3 bill in Elton John's boots. Remember, everything's gay in June. See all the stickers outside of the store. It feels like a glitter bomb at your front door. They're selling men's rompers live on QVC. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy reruns on TV. Move over, you straight folks, and give us your children to groom. Because everything's gay in June. That Target your wife goes to on County Line, even Buzz Lightyear is full of gay pride. As queer as a $3 bill in Elton John's boots. Remember, everything's gay in June. If y'all didn't know it, I'll explain it to you. You're all right-wing bigots if you're not into dudes. We get 55 emails each day before noon, reminding us all that everything's game. In June!
Well, the L.A. Dodgers...
That was Buddy Brown, by the way.
That was Buddy Brown. Thank you, Buddy. We appreciate all the content that you provide for us. The Los Angeles Dodgers have proven themselves to be the Bud Light of baseball.
Yeah, they're the gayest team in baseball, for sure.
Because they backed down to the woke and reinvited the radical anti-Christian gay and transgender group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, to their Pride Night on June 16th. Initially, they had disinvited, it's a hate group, they had disinvited them, but that they got so much pressure from woke groups that they reinvited them. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
As you say, they're a hate group, and that's a very good point, Allison. Yeah. Are they prosecuted for hate speech?
No, there
like
you go.
Like conservatives are?
Exactly, exactly.
Like Christians are?
Yeah, and they dress up like nuns.
Men.
Yeah, yeah. They're men who dress up like nuns, and they do obscene things that I'm not allowed to say out loud on this radio station. But they dress as drag queens, as nuns.
Yeah.
And they go to abortion rallies.
Yeah, they're vicious perverts, and they are proponents of hate speech against Christians, and they should be prosecuted. If we're going to prosecute, I don't believe in prosecuting hate speech, because there's no such thing as hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
It's hate speech is defined by people as speech I don't like, is what it boils down to. But if you're going to prosecute Christians for so-called hate speech, prosecute these perverts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, L.A. Dodgers put out a statement, and since this is radio, you can't see it, but it's in rainbow colors, and it says, I'm going to read it word for word, after much thoughtful feedback from our diverse communities, honest conversations within the Los Angeles Dodgers organization, and generous discussions with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the Los Angeles Dodgers would like to offer our sincerest apologies to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, members of the LGBTQ+ community, and their friends and families. We have asked the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to take their place on the field at our 10th annual LGBTQ+ Pride Night on June 16th. We are pleased to share that they have agreed to receive the gratitude of our collective communities for the life-saving work that they have done tirelessly for decades. In the weeks ahead, we will continue to work with our LGBTQ+ partners to better educate ourselves, find ways to strengthen the ties that bind, and use our platform to support all of our fans who make up the diversity of the Dodgers family.
Wow.
Okay, folks, that's a baseball team.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. I mean, Major League Baseball hates you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to ridicule the thing you hold most dear. They want you to feel degraded and insulted. Most of all, Major League Baseball wants to sexualize your children.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Well, because once your children's souls, spirits, and innocence are destroyed, degenerates can do whatever they want with them. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, well, that's only the Dodgers. That's not all of baseball. Yeah, well, how's that denial going for you, huh? why is Major League Baseball even having a Pride Night? Why is baseball celebrating sexual practices?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. What does that have to do with baseball? Well, you know, we've heard a lot about Bud Light. And, they hired a man in a dress who prances around like a twit and mocking women every bit as much as blackface minstrels mock black people.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
I mean, think about what this transvestite, his name is Dylan Mulvaney, Bud Light, represents. You know, he's either mentally ill, engaging in the public exhibitionism of his sexual fetish. He's viciously mocking women. All three, I think, are the case. And what did Budweiser do in front of the whole world? The so-called king of beers is trying to legitimize and normalize behavior so degenerate that it leads to suicide, permanent surgical mutilations. I mean, Budweiser hates us. Okay. Somebody, I don't know who this guy is, but he had a really interesting take on this guy, Dylan Mulvaney, the Bud Light guy who says he's a, not only says he's a girl, he's a woman, he's basically a teenage, pretends to be a teenage
girl. Yeah, because he's been a girl for a year.
Yeah, that's what he says. Anyway, this guy has a really good, interesting take on this guy, Dylan Mulvaney.
You are weird and artificial. You are manufactured and lifeless. You are unearthly and eerie. You are like some kind of human deepfake. That's what you are. You are a man deprived of all the best qualities of men, but without any of the best qualities of women. Even your personality is contrived. Everything about you is fake. Nothing about you rings true. Nobody buys the act. You'll never be accepted as a woman by anyone. Never by anyone. Even the people who pretend to accept you as a woman are only pretending because they're afraid of being lectured if they don't. Or because they want to use you as a platform to virtue signal. But everyone who looks at you will see something pitiable and bizarre, something utterly unfeminine in every way. You will never be able to actually have the identity that you're trying to appropriate, nor will you ever be able to fully escape the identity that you're fleeing. The best you can hope for is some kind of limbo, the worst of all worlds. And yet, even in that limbo state, you will still be a man. Just not one that any of us can respect or take seriously. Other than that, champ, you're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dylan Mulvaney, the Bud Light prancer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not the only corporation, and Major League Baseball and Anheuser-Busch. But as long as we're talking about Anheuser-Busch, it's not just Bud Light. You ought to know what other brands they sell so you can make an informed decision about whether or not you want to give them your money. They not only peddle Budweiser and Bud Light and other Bud brands and Busch brands of beer, but they also are Michelob, all the Michelob brands, the Ultra and all that kind of stuff. Natural Light, Corona, all owned by Anheuser-Busch. Beck's, Stella Artois, Kona, Landshark, Modelo, Rolling Rock, Johnny Appleseed, Shock Top Cider. So all that is owned by Anheuser-Busch. So, you know, I'm just saying, think about it. But you know, we talked about Disney, and we're not going to spend much more time on this subject, but just a couple of points. After spending decades gaining the trust of us and our children, by the way, that's what all child molesters do, gain the trust of the child. Disney is now exposing your children to the joys of being gay, a transvestite, a drag queen, a transsexual. I think we have, don't we have a,
what?
Oh, I thought we had an audio on Disney, but, well, we'll save it. Let's save it all for next time.
Well, but, okay.
Go ahead.
Are you done with, because I can talk about some other companies major companies are kicking off Pride Month with LGBT-themed clothing marketed to children and toddlers. Despite the backlash against Target's Pride collection for children, Target has lost $9 billion in market value
Good.
In just 1 week.
Yep. One week?
1 week.
Wonderful.
After announcing a Pride collection that features an LGBT-themed clothing for children, as well as chest-binding swim top. And if you don't know what that is, that's to make a girl look like a boy, to bind her breasts. And they're also selling tuck-friendly bathing suits. And am I allowed to say on the air what that actually does?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You want me to call the FCC and ask them?
Although
no,
some...
it's to hide male genitalia.
Okay, there you go. And although some Target stores have relocated their Pride displays farther, you know, like the 30 feet farther away.
Well, that makes a difference.
Yeah, really. But Target CEO, and I have a picture of it, celebrate Pride Month, and this is from a Target store, and with their, you know, Pride-colored shirts. And Target CEO has stood by the company's commitment to transgenderism, calling the backlash against the clothing collection gut-wrenching. I mean, doesn't it just make you want to gag?
Well, you're talking about Target.
Yeah, well, there are others.
Oh, there are so others. I want to stay with Target for a minute because not only have they pushed all this gay stuff on and transvestite stuff on children, even little children, babies, onesies, you know, as you mentioned.
Onesies with
gay pride stuff on it.
Yeah.
They're openly and proudly doing business with Satan worshipers.
Mm-hmm.
Satan worshipers. They had paraphernalia in their stores provided to them by a Satan worshiper. And when that was exposed, when people were outraged by it, then they took that off the shelves. But, and it wasn't all satanic stuff, but the guy, who I don't even know what his name is, in charge of this company, is an open Satan worshiper, he says. Now he claims he's not, but yeah, a Satan worshiper is above all a liar, as Jesus said about Satan. He's the liar and the father of it.
That's true.
So,
well, okay, well, we can leave Target, and I'll tell you a few of the other companies. J. Crew is offering toddler-sized T-shirts featuring the gay and trans flag on their website as a part of their summer, their 2023 Pride collection. So not just June for them; it's the entire summer. Let's see what else. Old Navy is selling shirts. Kohl's, Walmart's Pride collection. Clothing collection includes a rainbow toddler dress, a Pride Junior's cover-up, and, this is at Walmart, a rainbow onesie. And as I said before, for those of you men might not know what a onesie is, that's what you put on a little tiny baby. It's a one-piece thing. It snaps, and it's what you put on a baby. And Baby Gap also sells a Pride shirt in sizes as low as 0 to 3 months.
Well, I mentioned earlier in the program, in case you didn't hear it, but there's at least one hospital in England that gives parents of newborns a form, and on it it says, is your newborn transgender? I mean, really? Is your newborn trans? That's a decision that apparently a parent would make, that my child is transgender. I mean, how weird is that? Because the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, this crazy woman, said, and we played her audio a couple weeks ago, well, you have to listen to the children. They know what gender they are. Good parenting is listening to your child. Really? Well, how do you listen to a newborn telling you what gender they are? Okay? Because you can't tell. I mean, you can't tell what sex your child is. It's perverse, of course. As I mentioned, if your child says they want to be a pirate, do you gouge out one of their eyes and give them an eye patch and cut off their leg and give them a peg leg? Or if they say, I want to commit suicide, do you help them out? Is that good parenting to listen to the child? Child knows what they want? No, it's demonic is what it is. You take your child to a therapist at that point. Well, and if you believe that you should listen to your child telling you what gender they are, you should go to a therapist.
Well,
but, you know, by the way, just before we get off the Bud Light thing, Allison, a news bulletin has just been handed to me.
Uh-huh.
My left hand handed it to my right hand.
Oh, you don't need to say that. You need to let people think that we have people running in here with news bulletins.
News bulletins. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the news bulletin. Camp Lejeune bottled water has now passed Bud Light in monthly sales. Congratulations.
Well, I was going to say, I have some good news. I mean, all we've been talking about this morning is really disgusting, gross stuff.
That's why people tune in.
So maybe I shouldn't lighten it up. Tucker Carlson, who we sorely miss since Fox fired him.
Well, Fox misses about almost half their audience, too. Uh-huh. They miss that.
Yeah, I mean, I used to start watching Fox at 7 o'clock here in Hill Country. I guess it'd be 8 o'clock and if you're on the East Coast. I used to start watching Tucker. I mean, I would plan my evening around watching Tucker. And then I would continue watching all the rest of the Fox shows. But nowadays, I don't even turn the TV on. But anyway, that's not the point I was trying to make. But Tucker and his wife Susan have been married for 32 years, and they were interviewed last year, and Tucker said, "It's never easy because men and women fundamentally don't understand each other. That's the whole joy in it. That's why marriage makes you grow, because you don't really understand the other person, so you have to try every day to decipher what that person is saying."
Well, that's really interesting.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. You know, Allison says I have two major faults. One is that I don't listen to her, and I don't know, something else. I wasn't paying attention. When we come back from the break, we have our woke alert, the most ridiculous woke thing we could find. So stay tuned for that. This is a short break.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station.
Don't be alarmed. It's not an air raid. What it is your woke alert on the Bill and Allison show. We try to bring you the craziest wokeness that we have been able to find for each program, and we've got a doozy for you now. Doozy. Well, this past Friday, just yesterday, Jane Fonda said climate change is being caused exclusively by white men.
I haven't heard this one.
White men are the cause of climate change. Those men, quote, must be arrested and jailed.
Oh, jeez.
Just when you can think Jane Fonda can't be any more nutty.
Well, that's curious because China pollutes a whole lot more than the United States, and they are not white men.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. That's an excellent point. She said that it's the patriarchy and racism cause global warming.
Oh, my God.
She says we only have about 7 or 8 years left before we all die. Now, how many years have people been saying that?
Well, she's pretty old, so.
Well, there you go. She's only got probably less than that. Quote, we have to absolutely stop global warming. Quote, we have to arrest and jail those white men. They're all men. And they're the problem. I guess, she married Tom Hayden. He's a white man.
And she married Ted Turner.
But she married Ted Turner, too. So, you know, are they responsible?
She was married to somebody else, too.
I don't remember.
Who was a white man?
I don't remember. But
I think the father of her children.
She said, quote, it's good for us all to realize there would be no climate crisis if there was no racism. There would be no climate crisis if there was no patriarchy. Yeah, you mentioned China. China is the world's largest polluter. Mm-hmm. They emit more greenhouse gases than all developed nations combined, and wasn't run by white men.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Jane Fonda. I had... She's a humorless B-word. I used to be on Cup Show in Chicago. Every once in a while, and that
well,
was...
you should explain what that is.
Well, Cup Show was run by Irv Kupcinet, and he was called Mr. Chicago. He was a columnist, he was like a show business, celebrity columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. And somehow he took a liking to me, and I got what he did. The Cup Show was an evening show on Saturday night, and it was extremely popular. It was number one show in Chicago on Saturday nights. And it was a living room setting where about six people, maybe eight. I don't think it was that big. About six, eight, something like that. No more than that.
Sort of like a talk show.
It was a talk show, but it was Cup would throw out a topic, and we'd discuss it. And then we'd go on to another topic. And he had a lot of famous people on that show. And one time when I was on it, Jane Fonda was sitting next to me. And I think Otto Preminger was on the show. And another show was Alan King. So, you know, Alan King was a great guy. I liked him a lot. In fact, he invited me and my date to his show, to his you know, presentation.
But it wasn't me.
No, it was not you. Didn't know you then. But anyway, Jane Fonda was, I had done some research on what she had, some of the statements she had made publicly. She's always making these ridiculous statements. Of course, remember, you know that she was supported North Vietnam against American troops and was responsible for a lot of deaths, but because she was a traitor and is a traitor. But anyway, so I had done some research on her, and she had made some, she did say publicly at Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan that I am a communist. And the Cup was like shocked by that. And he said, did you say that? And she said, I don't remember. Is that the kind of thing you don't remember? So, you know, she tried to slough that off. And after the show, I tried to be cordial with her because I don't take this stuff personally. I mean, it's, you know. And but the left,
no, see, I do.
Lefties do.
I don't like lefties.
Well, leftists take things personally, Elson. But and she certainly did. She was not friendly. But anyway, that's my little story of Jane Fonda. But she is nuts. I mean, she is just objectively crazy. What do we got? What do you got, Elson? You got a story?
Well, a couple, several things. Okay. Last week we announced that here in Texas, vehicle inspections are going to end. However, it's not going to take effect until 2025.
Oh,
I guess the lobby of people who get paid for doing inspections held it up.
Well, probably what happened. You know, a lot of states, I think a majority of states, do not have vehicle inspections. And probably what happened, this is much my guess, that the automobile inspection lobby, whatever you want to call them, went to legislators and said, well, we don't like this bill. We want to keep inspections. And I suspect what they said is, well, I can't vote against it because it's too popular. People don't want vehicle inspections, so it's going to pass. But tell you what we'll do, we won't make it effective until, what, 2 years from now? So we're still going to have inspections. We have two vehicles, both expire soon, or one has already expired. And so I was waiting, but now I can't wait 2 years. I don't think. I might get caught. Just might get caught.
You might. I don't know. Well, I have a life hack for you. And whoever came up with that term hack, I don't know. But since everybody uses it, I guess I will too. You know those magazine holders that you used to buy to put your collection of magazines in, because you would have a subscription to a magazine and you would get it every month. So you had these little plastic things that they had like holes on the side and they were solid on the bottom to hold your magazines. I do have a subscription to Texas Monthly that I get every month, but I think that's the only magazine we get in the mail. Anyway, I discovered in my office closet, I have about six of them. And I thought, well, you know, I hate to throw something like this away, but I discovered something. You can put it on its side and put a letter size file folder in it, or plural file folders. So I'm going to start using them.
Very clever.
I thought so. I thought, should I pat myself on the back?
If you're physically able to do that, that's fine. That's fine. You know, we were talking about climate change a moment ago. And I don't know, do we have time for to do that, Allison, or do we need to take a break?
I think we should probably take a very quick little break.
All right, when we come back, We're going to, Alice and I are going to talk about things that you don't know about, probably, about climate change.
Make me happy all the while. In this world where we...
It's the return of Free Gas Fridays on the Patriot.
Is that you, David?
This is me.
How are you?
I am so blessed. This is a wonderful morning for me. I'm just sitting here sending you a text, and I hear my name on the radio for some reason.
Well, you got $100 worth of free fuel.
That'll put my, about a quarter of a tank in my pickup, I think. Well, thank you, sir. You have a blessed and wonderful day.
You could be the next winner of $100 worth of free gas from Off-Road Truck Accessories, Hill Country Polaris Sales and Service Dealer, and the Hill Country Patriot.
When I joined at 17, I knew that I would serve 20. 20 was always my goal. So throughout my life, it just, I made it work. So whatever was going on, if I was in college, or I was getting married, I was having kids. For each of us, it's a different kind of sacrifice, but for all of us, it is, in fact, a sacrifice. But you do it for the freedoms that we enjoy.
It taught me discipline, to be on time, to be looking sharp, and to go above your job, to do excellent work, not just mediocre work, but excellent work. Those that were serving, you know, nobody was doing it for the honor. They were actually doing it because they loved this country, they loved their state, they loved their community, and they wanted to protect them. They wanted to go fight for them.
To the brave men and women who risked it all, to those who gave all, to every family that sacrificed, your service doesn't go unnoticed. We honor you.
Texas is home to more than 27 million residents. And every day, we're making milestones. From being born and getting hitched, to starting businesses, buying property, and more. But is anyone there to make sure records of those important milestones are safely preserved? The answer? Yes. Your county clerk. The county clerk's role is unique, recording every Texan's most important milestones. If you were born in Texas, well, the clerk was there to welcome your sweet little cheeks into the world, officially making you a citizen of Texas and the U.S. of A. When you started your first business and you branded your first cow, well, the clerk helped record your business name and that brand of yours to thwart off cattle thieves. And when you bought your first house, well, the clerk recorded the sale and the deed. And when you pass on and leave Texas behind, well, your county clerk will do their job and officially record that too. You see, as the circle of life turns, it's the county clerk's duty to officially preserve our many milestones.
Hill Country Weather.
Catch the best of Hannity Sunday morning at 10.
Keeping a chance for a few showers and stronger thunderstorms in the forecast as the night goes on. That overnight low at 65 for Mountain Home and for Pipe Creek. Sunrise time at 6:35. Seeing some sunshine through Saturday, but also the return of some showers and thunderstorms by late day. Scattered storms Saturday night and Sunday, too. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Nairamore.
Free Gas Fridays on the Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison, Hill Country Patriot, your information station. You can also find us, our recordings of our back shows, at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
You know, before the break, I was quoting Jane Fonda saying we only have 7 or 8 years more to live because of climate change. Or maybe she's speaking for herself. I don't know. In 2017, June 29th, 2017, the Daily Mail, which is a publication in the United Kingdom, ran an article headlined, 4 Years to Save the Earth. 2020 is the deadline to avert climate catastrophe, expert claim in chilling commentary. That's the headline quote. Okay, we're six years later and 3 years past their doomsday deadline of 2020, the Earth hasn't changed much. If anything, it's gotten cooler. The past few years have been colder than 2016. That's one of the many climate doomsday news articles that gets published in our mainstream news media every single day. So, okay, How seriously should we treat this, these climate doomsday claims? Okay, you remember Arctic sea ice melting. Kids were having nightmares because the polar bears were going to all die off. Well, in 2007, what is it? How do you say the year now?
2007. It's like when I was in the hospital.
I got aphasia here. Anyway, in 2007, news media across the globe warned that the Arctic would soon be ice-free because of the melting from global warming. And this came about when Al Gore had his Inconvenient Truth movie about how global warming is melting Arctic ice and killing polar bears and stuff. BBC headline, Arctic summers will be ice-free by 2013 because of modeling forecasts of climate scientists. It said, quote, using supercomputers to crunch through possible future outcomes has become a standard part of climate science. Modeling studies indicate northern polar waters could be ice-free in summers within 5 to 6 years. You know what happened? The Arctic Sea ice grew. There is more ice in the Arctic than there was back then. All of these ice-free predictions have been proven to be wrong and inaccurate. And that's not the only case where the computer models failed in their predictions. During the past 20 years, the computer climate models used to forecast global temperatures failed to predict temperature levels accurately and failed to capture the slowdown in the warming of the Earth. These are the same models that are currently being used to justify climate policies like the Paris Agreement and all that stuff. We have a two-decade record of dismal failure in predicting temperatures, so you can't trust these models, these climate models. These models claimed about the worsening of extreme weather events due to climate change. There has been no observable increase in extreme weather events. In fact, in the United States, tornado activity is at its record low. The severity of wildfires has declined. The global area burned by wildfires has also declined in the past few decades. And more surprisingly to people who've taken swallowed the climate change pill. More surprisingly, throughout history, the CO2 concentration levels have followed the temperature levels and not vice versa. Let me say that again so you understand it. The CO2 levels follow the temperature levels. In other words, CO2 concentrations are not the primary drivers of the rise in temperatures. And as temperatures fall, CO2 falls. That's proven in the temperature measurements between 2000 and 2018, when the exponential increase in atmospheric CO2 concentration failed to cause a rise in global temperature levels. We had higher CO2 concentration, exponentially higher, failed to cause a rise in global temperatures. So we should ignore the doomsday claims. They're not scientifically accurate, nor are they put through any kind of rigorous scrutiny. It's all propaganda. It's all propaganda.
This is exploiting people's ignorance to promote fear and use it as a lever for God knows what they want to do.
But why do so many scientists say global warming is a huge threat?
Relatively few that I know of who even support the narrative would ever say that this is involving an existential threat.
Professor Linson, we are now facing calls from the UN, and we face calls to kill our coal industry, stop using coal, gas and oil, to stop this terrible, terrible warming. What do you think we should do about global warming?
Nothing. If the whole Anglosphere and the European Union were to shut down completely, bury all industrial activity and people so that we don't generate CO2, that its impact on climate would be negligible. Because, you know, the rest of the world is going to continue and they're now dominating emissions. So no matter what you believe about climate, our actions will do nothing about climate. if you truly believed that it was an existential threat, then the only thing you could do is build up your resilience. And building up your resilience means making more, having people wealthier. Because we see throughout the whole world, if you are a poor country, if you're not resilient, natural disasters cause immense damage, pain, suffering, and so on. In the developed world, similar disasters cause much less damage. So your aim would be resilience. Instead, we're choosing to make ourselves less resilient. And that makes no sense at all, no matter what you believe. In point of fact, I don't think there's any threat on the horizon. And the best thing to do is to make society wealthier.
That was Dr. Richard Lindzen, American atmospheric physicist. He's published more than 200 scientific papers and books. He's professor emeritus at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and he taught climate science for over 10 years at Harvard University. You won't be hearing that on the major news media, will you?
No, I don't think
They silence people like him.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Texas House, probably you already know this, but the Texas House has impeached our Attorney General, Ken Paxton. Lawmakers voted overwhelmingly to impeach him.
It was now, explain what impeachment really is. A lot of people think, okay, you're impeached, you're thrown out of office.
Right. There will be a trial.
Now, impeachment is like a grand jury indictment.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're guilty.
Right. So there will be a trial, and if you are found guilty in the trial, then you will be thrown out of office. And the state House of Representatives is bringing in big gun lawyers, including Dick Guerin, who is nationally well known. He's a Texan, UT graduate, but he's nationally well known for defending former disgraced Texas Congressman Tom DeLay. He defended David Koresh, head of the Branch Davidians, and most of whom, if y'all remember, most of whom committed mass suicide in Waco. And he also defended Robert Durst, who at the time was rather well known for killing at least two people. And so that's the type of lawyers that the House is bringing in to prosecute Ken Paxton, the Attorney General. So they're going after him.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he's very conservative, and he's been accused of all sorts of stuff. But there'll be a trial to find out if. Of course, it's all politics, folks. You know, it's a lot of it is politics anyway. I don't have an opinion on the Paxton thing. I haven't looked at it closely, but. He is no longer acting as Attorney General. He is officially still the Attorney General, but he can't practice, if you will. He can't be the Attorney General by state law
because he has been impeached.
Once you're impeached,
I didn't realize
he hasn't been removed from office. He just can't act in the capacity until the trial.
And what I learned, and I don't know what the outcome was, but his wife. Got to vote on whether to impeach him or not.
That's weird.
Because she is a state senator, which I did not know.
Yeah, that's weird. How did she vote?
I don't know.
Well, that must have been an interesting dinner conversation if she voted to impeach him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Yeah. That reminds me of Fauci's wife.
I was going to say, it reminds me of the congressman that you worked for.
Which one? I worked for several.
Okay, the one who was censured by the Congress because he had sex with a page, a congressional page.
Yeah.
And his brother was also a congressman, and he voted
against impeachment, against censure.
Okay.
Phil voted against censure.
He didn't just vote absent.
No.
I'm sorry, present.
No, I think Phil voted against censure.
And I believe Ron Paul did, too.
I have to go back and look.
I believe Ron Paul did, too.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think they were the only votes against.
Well, I remember I was walking with my boss into the House chamber, and what's his name from Texas? They made a movie about him, congressman from Texas.
Charlie Wilson.
Charlie Wilson came up to my boss, and I was standing right there, so I heard him, and he said, Danny, call him Danny. He said, Danny, I got to tell you, he said, I got to vote to censure you, but he said, you didn't do anything different than a lot of guys around here did.
Did he say all of us?
I don't know if he said all of them, but a lot of them. Anyway, a couple of points to make before we get out of here. Local peaches are currently being harvested along with plums and blackberries. Peach harvest quantities have dropped some in the last week, but remain plentiful. I'll remind you, too, this is day 10 of the Kerrville Folk Festival, the longest continuously running music festival in North America. It's at Quiet Valley Ranch, just outside, just south of Kerrville on Highway 16. Just Sydney Baker, just go down there and you'll find it. KerrvilleFolkFestival.org is what you need to look at. The Fredericksburg Optimist Club's inaugural Duck Derby will be held from 11 to 3 today, Saturday, at Lady Bird Johnson Municipal Park. And also Cowboys and Cajuns in Junction tonight from 6 to midnight. Crawfish beginning at 6 p.m. Miss Kimball County will be crowned. Street dance, live music from 8 p.m. to midnight. And that's going to take place on the courthouse lawn in downtown Junction. Cost you $10 to bring a cooler. Bottle charge, $10. Bring your lawn chairs for that. Well, we are Allison.
I'm Allison.
We are. I'm Bill. And join us next Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning for the Allison and Bill Show. In the meantime, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths.